On the winner's time.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
This is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Just wrapped up the Handicappers Report, and in between Handicappers Report and Racing Across America, you saw Al Maktoum challenge round three, and it was the favorite. Salute the Soldier getting it done pretty convincingly. Came around the turn, you thought, man, are these other horses going to make a challenge? No, they weren't. I had it 8-3, 6-11 under the wire, but hold your tickets and check the official results. But the winner was Salute the Soldier, again, the betting favorite there. 10:30, we will have the final race on the card today at Maidan in Dubai, the Nad El Sheba Turf Sprint. $228,000 up for grabs for a field going 6 furlongs on the turf. And again, we'll get you that one at about 10:30. Want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here on Capital OTB. They have a nice day down at Gulfstream today. As you heard when we went over the card handicappers report, nice stakes down there, but all around the country. Tampa Bay Derby and supporting undercard stakes down at Tampa Bay. Santa Anita Handicap, San Filippo, Kilroe out at Santa Anita in Southern California. And in New York, the Gotham and some undercard stakes. And we will talk about those New York and Southern California stakes on the show today. A little bit later on, John White from Santa Anita joins us to go over their stakes card, which again is blockbuster. But we're going to kick things off with an interview we taped yesterday with our friend Anthony Stabile from the New York Racing Association. Going to take a look at the Gotham and the undercard stakes down at Aqueduct on Saturday afternoon with the Big A, Anthony Stabile. That is up next. Happy to be joined now by our friend Anthony Stabile. You see him doing the pregame every racing day down in New York, NYRA, Aqueduct at this time of year, and it's a big day at Aqueduct on Saturday, highlighted by the Gotham, a step along the Derby Trail. Anthony, good morning.
What's happening, Seth? Yeah, one of my favorite weekends of the year. I always loved the Gotham back in 1989. Easy Goers Gotham. We used to play football and run around that patch of grass in the clubhouse at the Big A on trackside. I made everybody stop to watch my man 132-2. It's a stakes and track record that still stands today.
Yeah, it certainly harkens back to a day when, you know, there wasn't winter. I can remember no winter racing, and the spring would start up, and this would be one of those steps along the Derby Trail. The wood was 2 weeks before the Derby. It is a different world now, but the Gotham still has a place on the Derby Trail. And this year, a very fun version. Before we get into that race and the New York step along the Derby Trail, let's go back to last week a little bit and just your thoughts on the three-year-old scene in general. But last week, the comeback, I thought, from Essential Quality was impressive. But down in Florida, Greatest Honor with that come-from-behind effort looked good as well. A couple of weeks ago, I thought Mandaloon looked good at the fairgrounds. What are your thoughts at this point on the Derby Trail?
Yeah, I started my sixth. It's Vegas Insider this week with my Derby list. We Stabile 7. I couldn't get past Essential Quality at the top of it off that win last week. I don't think he liked that racetrack. I don't think he was comfortable inside. You know, just in the slop. I don't think he had any trouble being inside horses. But once he got outside, he rolled. It was a fantastic comeback. You keep in mind that race was postponed a couple of weeks, so Brad Cox had to keep him going and keep him fresh. You know, when you're pointing for a race, especially a comeback off of a good chunk of time, 3.5 months is a long enough time. And then you got to keep them going another 2 weeks. I think that was a big effort. I would assume we see him next in the Bluegrass since he's 2-for-2 at Keeneland. It seemed like to Brad everything was on the table, those April 3rd and April 10th preps. So we'll see what he does with the Central Quality. Greatest Honor was fantastic. The problem with Greatest Honor is he looked like he exposed himself as a horse that cannot be in between or inside of horses. That's a problem. It's not a problem now when you are the boss over these horses that you're going to dominate at the mile and a 16th and a mile and eighth. And that's one thing with his pedigree by Tappet. He's out of a half to Jazzle and Rags to Riches. He'll go all day. Problem is, in these big bulky fields, as you get further down the trail and then into the Triple Crown races, you can't have an Achilles heel like not being able to run inside horses. But you have a little bit of a target on your back. But yeah, nice bunch so far. I'm impressed with what I've seen.
Yeah, very much. And today, besides the Gotham, we're on the Derby Trail down in Florida. That's going to be fun. And out in Southern California, particularly with the two Baffert runners, excited to see what they do out in San Felipe. But let's jump into the Gotham. Grade 3 event in New York on Saturday afternoon, $300,000, the one-turn mile. I pulled up the Nyquist from last November on the Breeders' Cup weekend out at Keeneland. We'll look at number one, Highly Motivated, Get It Done for Chad and Klarovich. Hasn't been seen since that race, so there's a little bit of a layoff. There's a stretch out on Saturday. I tilted in that direction, but it's an interesting race with Capo Kane having won the Jerome two back and third in the Withers last time. Freedom Fighter and Wipe the Slate both come in from Southern California. Freedom Fighter for Bob Baffert, Wipe the Slate for Doug O'Neill. Chad and Klarovich also have Crowded Trade. Could make an argument for that one off the career debut win. I think it's a field of eight and a fun field in here. Your thoughts on the Gotham?
Yeah, I think Chad Brown's going to win the Gotham. I'm not sure which one it's going to be. Highly Motivated. You mentioned that Nyquist. That was a big effort for him. He passed horses on a track that was kind of, you know, that we found out over the course of the next couple of days, the two Breeders' Cup days. It was real kind to speed, and it was kind to inside. And you know what? He moved off the rail and went three wide and rolled by those horses in a good time. The mile should hit him right between the eyes. He should get his Derby points or be well on his way to getting his Derby points. I think he's going to sit a good trip. There's some speed in here with Atlantic Road at the rail, who's kind of under the gun. Obviously, Capo Kane, Freedom Fighter coming in for Baffert. You don't reach out for Kendrick Carmouche to come in from California if you're Doug O'Neill and don't plan on putting Wipe the Slate on or close to the lead despite the blinkers coming off. So I think Highly Motivated gets a good setup. But I'm going to say this, TSF. We've had some nice performances at Aqueduct this winter. I don't know how many of them were better than Crowded Trade's debut. I really liked this horse's debut. It looked like he didn't know what was going on when the gate opened the first, I don't know, half mile, first five, 7/16 of a mile. And when they came off the turn, he was like, oh, I'm supposed to pass these horses. And he just took off. I think it was a big, big, big effort. Another horse where the extra distance shouldn't hurt him. Eric Hansel's having a fantastic winter here at the Big A. I think they're the two. I want to see Capo Kane pass horses. Capo Kane's a nice little story. Harry Weiner does a good job with a small string. He was good in the Jerome. I got to call his Jerome in the mud here at the Big A. I just think it was distance limitations in the Withers last time. He'd be the third horse in for me. The problem is there were two or three in here that are just faster than him early. His best races have been when he controlled on the front end, and that just – that doesn't appear to be in his future later on today.
Yeah, it's a very intriguing field, as they say, fun field, and we'll see how it plays out. And Klarovich and Chad Brown, a couple of live runners, Baffert in there as well. All right, one race earlier, it's the Heavenly Prize. Interested to see your thoughts here, because I pulled up that allowance optional claimer from February 3rd, the return of Lake Avenue. And I'll go back to 2019 when she won the Demoiselle, and I thought, man, Bill Mott and Godolphin are going to have a really nice three-year-old filly. And she just offered up nothing in her three-year-old season, it seems like. But the four-year-old comeback down at Gulfstream last time, we'll watch the stretch run. Lake Avenue will be the number six horse here. I thought this was an impressive comeback, and maybe she's ready to validate what we saw in that two-year-old season. So I went in that direction, but I thought Thankful from Todd Pletcher was a real player here too. Portal Creek may be a little bit interesting if you go to the race two back in the Gopher One. Your thoughts in the Heavenly Prize?
To steal a line from my favorite karaoke song, will the real Lake Avenue please stand up? the 2-year-old and 4-year-old version will handle these and handle these with ease. The 3-year-old version will get nothing. Who's going to show up? I don't know which one's going to show up. I'll tell you what, for the first half mile of the return at Gulfstream, yeah, it looked like the 3-year-old version was there. The second half of that race, the 2-year-old version showed up. She was good. She was really good at Gulfstream last time. And if she follows that path, she's going to be just fine in this race later on today. What do you do with Thankful cutting back? I don't know what you do with Thankful cutting back. She's run well going a flat mile. She was able to upset Mrs. Danvers back at Belmont last September. But now going that mile on an eighth, she seemed a little more comfortable going the 9 furlongs. I'm going to tell you the horse that I think is a little interesting in here. I picked Lake Avenue. The one Gone Glimmering was claimed 2 starts back by Rob Actress by Linda Rice. And Eric Cancel, the day she got claimed, she was beat at 4-5. And she looked like she was going to be forwardly placed. She didn't break that well, and she didn't run 2 steps. Last time out, she didn't make the lead. But Eric Cancel jacked her out of that. And if you look at her races, her best races are when she is forwardly placed and aggressively ridden early. I think you just got to stay on top of this filly if you watch her replays. And I think Eric figured that out last time. Now she's drawn inside today. She doesn't have a ton of speed in here. Portal Creek's probably faster than her. And I don't think she needs a lead. But at a bigger price, I think Gone Glimmering is an interesting horse in here. She'll be on all of my pick 4s and pick 5s.
I agree. Interesting. As you're talking, I'm looking. And off of that first off the claim effort, yeah, it's one. And you will get a little bit of value there. A little bit earlier, the Tom Fool Grade 3 event, a couple $100,000 for the sprinters. And another race where I'll be interested to see your opinion, because I can probably point at 4 of the field of 6 at least, and I would have kind of an equal level of confidence. I tilted slightly towards Pete's Play Call. I think Speed Pass, it seems like over the past, I don't know, 5 years or maybe a little bit longer, any sprinters coming from the West Coast to New York, you have to pay attention to. So Speed Pass for Bob Baffert is interesting to me. And Share the Ride, clearly, boy, I mean, this horse just doesn't miss a dance. But I tilted, as I say, slightly towards Pete's Play Call. Which way are you going to go on the Tom Fool?
You had me, my man, until you brought up Share the Ride, who we'll get to in a minute. I wouldn't be surprised if any of these 6 won this race today. Not surprised at all. I landed on Pete's Play Call. He loves Aqueduct. He likes the distance. I think he'll work out the right trip behind the faster horses in here, like Happy Farm and Chateau. I think he works out the right trip under Jorge Vargas. Respect Speed Pass. My biggest opinion in this race is I don't like Share the Ride for a penny. And I'm going to tell you why I don't like Share the Ride.
Okay.
If you look at his form, you look at his PPs, he has 3 other instances on here where he's come back in 2 weeks or less. And he has regressed anywhere from 8 to 12 buyer points in all of those races, from the 12th of September to September 26th, from a 103 to a 91. November 28th to November 29th, 101 to a 93. January 16th to January 30th, 98 to a 90. And he's a horse who's better when he's forwardly placed. He can't keep up with Happy Farm. And he can't keep up with Chateau. He's just not fast enough. He's nowhere near fast enough. So now he's got to pass horses. I think there are better horses to pass that pass in here than him. So he's going to be one of the favorites. I don't want anything to do with him tomorrow. I'm using Pete's Play Call, Speed Pass, a little Wendell Fong. I think Pete's Play Call works out the right trip because I think he has enough speed and he has the rail that he's the first one to come calling on the duel. I'll land with Pete's Play Call, but wouldn't be surprised if Steve Pass or Wendell Fong got the money as well.
Yeah, I think it's a really contentious race. All right, one race earlier, more stakes action, kicking off the stakes action, the Buescher Invitational. $250,000 up for grabs for the 3-year-old fillies going the one turn mile. I took a little pop with Mo Desserts, but I think search results from Clarovich and Chad is interesting, and Miss Brazil from the rail. I heard you and Andy talking on the pregame on Friday and mentioned Tony Dutrow firing as the Tony Dutrow of old, and that makes Miss Brazil very dangerous. Your thoughts on the Buescher?
Yeah, it does. Miss Brazil could be tough. We'll see how much pressure Mo's Desserts puts on her. I went to my man. Now, listen, I'm downstate today, so I won't be celebrating at Nove tonight. But I think the grass is blue for my man Louis Lazzanaro.
Okay.
Is going to run a big, big race in this Buescher. She gets some speed. I think a filly like her, who really likes to settle and make one run, will benefit from the cutbacks at a one-turn mile. That's not to say the mile and an eighth isn't something she's going to want to do, because I do believe it is. But I think with the blinkers on last time, it sharpened her up a little bit, and it kept her closer to a soft pace. I think the pace has to be faster in here today, and I think she gets the right trip. So I'll take her. Miss Brazil and Mo Desserts make a lot of sense. Search results wouldn't surprise me. This is another race. I think you can make a case for any of the six fillies in here. Make Mischief has come back for Chris Englehart and won two in a row. Now she's coming back in a couple of weeks, and she's taking on Open Company. The same thing you said for Lauban, who's going back into Open Company after winning a couple of State Bred Stakes and finishing second in another last time. They're the outliers. The other four wouldn't surprise me. I'll try the Grass is Blue. She's not only going to be the best price, but she should get the best trip.
Yeah, and I think you will get a nice little price on that one. Yeah, you can't come up to Nove tomorrow, but double it up this summer up in Saratoga. Save an extra day if the horse wins to celebrate this one in memory of it. Yeah.
It was 23 last meet. I don't know how much more I can get to Nove. I'm losing a spot to throw
23.
Me out at some point.
Yeah.
23 days in Saratoga. I was at Nove 23 nights last year.
Home away from home. I like that. Very good. But there are a lot of options up there at Saratoga.
Best white pizza on the planet.
And I am once again, as I've been doing for months now, knocking wood. But it looks like things may return to some semblance of normalcy. We'll certainly hope for that. And we'll be out and about a little more this year, everybody. And hopefully some fans on track and looking forward to a better summer this year. As I say, I'm knocking on wood. But regardless of that situation, really nice day Saturday down at Aqueduct with the Gotham and the undercard stakes. And Anthony, as always, we appreciate your joining us and taking a look at those and kind of setting the table for Saturday afternoon. Appreciate the visit. We'll talk again.
You got it, my man. Hopefully we'll talk through the wood. Good luck, everyone.
That's the game plan. The Big A, Anthony Stabile from Aqueduct. Big day coming up on Saturday. Thanks to Anthony Stabile for taking the time yesterday to sit down and go over the stakes card at Aqueduct on this Saturday afternoon. Big day highlighted by that Gotham. Looking forward to it. Big day out at Santa Anita, too, and I'm going to jump right in. So we get the first part of John White before the Dubai race. Dubai's about 12 minutes away. But we talked to John yesterday, and because of the length of the interview and the fact that we have this Dubai race in there, we kind of did part one and part two. So I'll just lead into part one of the John White interview, and then we'll come back from that, lead you into this Dubai race at about the bottom of the hour, and then continue on with John White after that. So, again, caught up with John yesterday to talk the stakes action out at Santa Anita. John White is the morning line odds maker out there, had some great opinions on the stakes races and more. So up next, John White. Joined now by our friend John White, the morning line odds maker out at Santa Anita. Of course, a big afternoon on Saturday at Santa Anita, highlighted by the Santa Anita Handicap, the Big Cap, and the San Felipe for the three-year-old, some other stakes races as well. John, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
Happy to have you on board to talk a little bit about the stakes action on Saturday at Santa Anita. Before we get into the races themselves, give us a little update. What's your weather going to look like on Saturday afternoon?
Looks like it's going to be absolutely beautiful. So beautiful weather, so we are very thankful for that. We should be fast and firm.
Ah, that's what we like to hear. And let's kick off right into it and get into the Santa Anita Handicap and work our way backwards. Maxfield, to me, has looked good in the two starts down at Fairgrounds since his comeback. So I think the race goes through Maxfield. Express Train is interesting. Independence Hall is interesting. But a horse that I have down in my mix, and I thought I'd pull up the replay just to let people see, the San Antonio, a couple starts back for Kiss Today Goodbye. Kiss Today Goodbye in this replay.
Kiss Today Goodbye, trying to rally on the inside of midcourt there at the top
again,
of the stretch.
Two races back, subsequently poor performance in the Pegasus at Gulfstream. But this win over the Santa Anita track, Mike Smith in the saddle this day, back in the saddle on Saturday. I thought Kiss Today Goodbye, if you're going to play around a little bit in the race, you could maybe go in that direction. I think the race, for me, goes through Maxfield. But I thought Kiss Today Goodbye was at least a little bit interesting and worth taking a look at this win a couple starts back. Your thoughts in the big cap?
Well, I made it Maxfield the 8-5 favorite on the morning line, and I think he is a vulnerable favorite in terms of I think he will be overbet. And he's a good horse. He's undefeated. He certainly is the horse to beat in this race, as you pointed out. I mean, you said it. The race goes through him. And I'm very pleased that he has been sent to California for the Santa Anita Handicap, because he lends some quality to a race that has suffered in recent years vis-a-vis its position on the calendar with races like the $20 million Saudi Cup and the Pegasus World Cup and the Dubai World Cup. Santa Anita Handicap has really fallen off in recent years, and so far to such an extent that I've been worried that it's going to drop to a grade two, and it's a historic race. It's got a tremendous history. It one time was the biggest race for older horses in the country, and it would have just broken my heart to see this race downgraded to a grade two. With the quality of the field, not only with Maxfield, but the entire field this year, at least I feel that it's got a better shot to hold on to its grade one ranking, and Maxfield plays a role in that. So again, I'm glad he's here. And if you're a bettor, you're glad he's here. If you're shopping for a price, now you mentioned Kiss Today Goodbye, but I think you can make cases for several horses in here to maybe pull the upset. Look, Maxfield has never gone farther than a mile in the 16th. Now he's being asked to go a mile and a quarter. He's shipping across the country. And something that people don't even talk about anymore is weight, because we don't have very many handicaps anymore. And he has to carry top weight of 124 pounds. The farther you go, the more relevant weight becomes. And if you don't think that's the case, if you instead of dragging your suitcase when you travel on its wheels, if you carry your suitcase, the farther you carry your suitcase, the more taxing that becomes. It's that simple. It's a matter of physics. And so Maxfield, to me, is, like I say, a vulnerable favorite here. I picked him because he is the horse to beat, but I think there are opportunities in here. Express Train, I came very close to making 5-2, but I'm not sensing that there's as much respect for him yet that I have for him, because I'm always trying to handicap the betting public, not the race, in terms of the odds. So I was going to go 2 on him and 9-5 on Maxfield, but I switched to 8-5 and 5-2 and 3-1 because I think Maxfield, quite frankly, could easily go well under 8-5. He's because of the hype. He is the ranked high in the nation. He is the number 4 ranked horse of the NTRA poll. And you always have to respect an undefeated horse, too. And I respect the trainer as well, Brendan Walsh. So, you know, I made him a low price in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile here a couple of years ago, and he ended up scratching from the race. But I could tell at that time he was kind of a hyped horse that people were going to be gravitating to. And I think that is the case here. If I were to go against him, I would go with Express Train off that last race, and the fact that John Sherris is such an outstanding trainer. And I think, look, when you look at Express Train, Seth, this is a horse that early in his career was highly regarded. He was actually as highly regarded as Honor AP in that barn. And in his maiden win, he faced a Buzzsaw and Eight Rings sprinting, but when they stretched him out to a mile, he absolutely romped. And then he ran a disappointing race against Eight Rings in the American Pharoah, and then he went on the shelf. So something, you know, he's a Union Rags out of a mineshaft mare who, with that pedigree, you know, he's a horse that it's not all that surprising that he would be better at this point in his career age-wise four than he would have been as a two-year-old or even maybe as a three-year-old. So I think he's just blossoming now. He tipped his hand in the Malibu. He ran a big race that day to finish second against Charlatan. And, you know, look, Charlatan is one of the top horses in the world. He went over to Dubai and ran a heck of a race in defeat against the John Gosden winner, Mishawish. So I would go with Express Train, but a lot of people that like Idol, I think Idol is overrated myself, but there are a lot of people that like him with the jockey change to Joel Rosario. Independence Hall ran a respectable race in the Pegasus. And a 104 buyer, I think you have to respect him. He finished well behind Express Train in the Malibu, though, so I don't know why he's going to necessarily beat Express Train going farther. But I just have to think that that it's a very interesting race. And look, Kiska Today Goodbye ran a big race in that San Antonio. I think a bit of a concern here, Seth, is the fact that, number one, he was well behind Independence Hall in the Pegasus, and number two, I don't think the pace might be as to his liking in this big camp as it was in the San Antonio. I think that helped set up his late run. But a tricky aspect of the big camp, only one horse in this race has raced farther than a mile, you know, has not gone a mile and a quarter. The only horse that's gone farther is Tis a Magician, and I think you know, he's kind of up against it in terms of his last race when he got drilled by Express Train. So I would be surprised to see him turn the tables. But again, it's Richard Mandela, who's won multiple Santa Anita handicaps. And, you know, a wild card in the race is King Guillermo, because this is a horse that ran a kind of a freakish race when he won the Tampa Bay Derby, and I don't think he's been the best managed horse in history since then. He's been kind of oddly managed, but they finally were smart. When they sent him out for the San Pasqual, he ran poorly there, but they kept him here. They didn't take him back east and then ship him back out here to California. They kept him here, and they kept him here with a Hall of Fame trainer, Neil Drysdale. So Drysdale's been supervising this horse's training here in California, and I think you can throw out basically his last two races. Look, the Cigar Mile was off a long layoff against Tough Company, and then last time he had to ship across the country and the track was wet. So he's a sneaky horse. I made him 12-1, and if you're looking for a horse at a price, I would not leave out King Guillermo. This is just all in all a very good addition to the Santa Anita handicap.
Yeah, very intriguing, and I did not know what to do with King Guillermo because of that promise early in the career, and as you say, the last couple, not so much, but I think he's better than that. I didn't know what to do with him. And Express Train, triple-digit buyer in that San Pasqual win, tabs him as one, maybe an up-and-comer, but we'll see. Maxfield, it's interesting you mentioned Wade. I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, from my early days in the game, when it was a real consideration when you were handicapping. Now we don't factor that in as much, but in a race like this, it is worth looking at the 124 for Maxfield there going a mile and a quarter. And again, that was part one. We split up the John White interview into a couple of parts because that Dubai race is about to go off, and we were anticipating that when we planned the show yesterday. It is the Nad Al Sheba Turf Sprint. The favorite currently is number 8 Royal Crusader, 6-5. Hasn't been seen, however, since July at Deauville. Won that race for Charlie Appleby and William Buick. So they bring this one back off a long layoff, but the betting public not concerned about the layoff. 6-5 favorite, number 8 Royal Crusade. We'll take a look at this one. We'll come back wrapping up the Dubai card. This is the last race at Maidan on this Saturday. So we'll watch this one. We'll come back after the race and get to part two of John White. Stay tuned.
And a very good performance in the summer. But the presence of those two horses, they might just prove a cut above. One by one, they go forward. Not the easiest finale for our caller, Craig Evans. Sterling work tonight as ever. But with the presence of 7 Shake Hamdan horses and 3 for Godolphin, it'll be over in a blur. And Craig, it's all in a day's work.
Thank you, Nick. Set him up. Man of Promise goes forward, takes up its spot. Motor Farwit about to go forward. This is Tarnin, Stefan Mazur, the new rider. So they're moving in well, 1,200 metres for the Nad Al Sheba Turf Sprints. Nick reminding us that Wild Man Jack won this last year dominant. Wild Man Jack's going to run in the Golden Shaheen here in 3 weeks' time on the dirt. Now moving up to position is Ja Lael. The Perfect Crown still to come forward. Acklam Express in the line. So the Perfect Crown and Acklam Express, the last two. We look to be right now. Nad Al Sheba Turf Sprint, they're set. Gates go back and they're racing. Acklam Express just a shade slow away quickly. Muta Raffa towards the inside. Final Song bounced away well. Fleeting Prince also in the firing line early. The orange cap of Fanar is going forward. Out deeper is Tarnine and forward to is Yarlow. The whitest horse, the Perfect Crown. Tucking in behind them, Royal Crusade. They were followed by Muta Raffa. Acklam Express has picked up ground. Then came Meta Him a fair way back. Tarmol trucking through now. And back to the tail is the Final Song. They come through the first 500 metres and driving up to the front. Muta Raffa shows the way in a clumped field as they join the course proper. Out in the middle, Tarnine is right there, Man of Promise. Royal Crusade's a long way back, needs to pick up. It's following the Perfect Crown. The front runner, Muta Raffa, as they go to the final 350. Over in second, Tarnine. Now coming through is Man of Promise. And over on the inside is Final Song, hitting a stride and bursting through. Final Song's gone to the lead. Now charging down the outside is Motor Farwit, but Final Song well clear inside the final 100 metres, charging to second. Motor Farwit closing quickly, but Final Song just clinging on, got there. Final Song lasted by a head over Motor Farwit. A gap to Acklam Express, a good run. Close up was Muta Raffa, followed by Tarnine. Then came Royal Crusade, who didn't come on at all, followed by Yarlail. Next in was Man of Promise, then came the Perfect Crown. Behind them was Fanar, followed by Medehim, then Tarmol, Fleeting Prince, and Ektiar has pulled up near after last.
So the favorite, Royal Crusade off the long layoff, hadn't been seen since July in France, doesn't get it done. There is an upset. A couple of fairly decent prices in here. We have 13 was the winner. I think it was 13 and 6. Hold your tickets, check your numbers. But 8-1 over 13-1 there. In the exact, again, is the favorite. Royal Crusade at 7-5 is beaten. Nice late run here. And hold your tickets. I said 13-6, but this is tight at the wire, too. Comes right down. I think the 13 did hold on, but it became tight with a nice closing effort there by the second-place finisher. So hold your tickets and check your results there. At Maidan in Dubai, wrapping up their Saturday card. All right, let's get back into it with John White again. Because of the Dubai race, we split his interview up into a couple of segments. First segment, we took a look at the Santa Anita Handicap, but we work our way through the rest of the stakes action on the Saturday Santa Anita card with John White. That's up next. One race earlier on the card, it's the Grade 1 Kilrow Mile on the Grass. Always a fun race early on the American racing calendar. And this is yet another fun addition, and fun for folks in our audience, because a lot of familiar faces from the New York racing scene. We have Pletcher bringing in Social Paranoia. Chad and Klarovich have Spirit Animal. Chad also has Flavius. Lee Einsiedler and Bill Mott bring in Casa Creed. Ride a Comet for Mark Cassie. And Ride a Comet for Cassie, coming out of that win down at Gulfstream last time in a Grade 3, is the one that intrigues me a little bit. But what are your thoughts on the Kilrow?
Well, first of all, this is probably the best race on the entire card, and I'm sure that Mr. Kilrow, and that's someone that I called Mr. Kilrow, I knew Mr. Kilrow, who was an absolute legend in terms of a racing executive, and he would be smiling at the quality of this race. I mean, top to bottom, this is just an outstanding field for this year's Frankie Kilrow Mile, who I always kind of chuckle at that, because he was known as Jimmy Kilrow, But officially, his name was Frank E. Kilroe, so that's what we go by here. But, you know, this is a a guy that invented the Breeders' Cup Filly AmeriTurf, Seth, really, because he's the guy that came up with the idea of a race called the Yellow Ribbon. Not the Yellow Ribbon we have now at Del Mar, but the Yellow Ribbon during the Oak Tree meet at Santa Anita in the fall. That race became a world-class race under Mr. Kilroe. And that race, during the early years of the Breeders' Cup, kind of was an extension almost of the Breeders' Cup for fillies and mares. And the Breeders' Cup said, you know what? We should have that race. And so they started the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. In fact, Hollywood Park kind of piggybacked on the Yellow Ribbon by coming up with the Matriarch. And now the Matriarch at one time was a championship deciding type race. In fact, in 1984, the first year of the Breeders' Cup, Royal Heroine, a superstar from the East Coast trained by Woody Stevens, shipped out to California and won a stakes race the day before the Breeders' Cup, when it was a one-day event. And then the next day, Royal Heroine won the inaugural running of the Breeders' Cup Mile, beating the boys for John Gosden. Those two had a showdown in the Matriarch for the Eclipse Award that year. Nowadays, though, the Matriarch has been shortened in distance. It's a one-mile race. But my point is, again, that Kilroe was ahead of the curve by having that Yellow Ribbon, which is now, in essence, the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Turf. In this race, I mean, you can go all over the place as far as, I mean, truthfully, I think anybody can win this race. Yeah. Even the longest shot that I made on the morning line at 15-1, Royal Ship. This is a horse whose speed figures in the Del Mar Mile and City of Hope Mile last year actually fit very well with everybody in this race. And he's a first-time gelding, and he's got a Hall of Fame trainer in Richard Mandel and a Hall of Fame rider in Mike Smith. This horse actually could win this race, and that's why I wouldn't make him 20-1. He could be 20 or 30-1 in here, but I think even that horse has a shot. It was very tough to try to make a favorite in this race. I mean, there's several that could go favorite here. When I make a 7-2 favorite, that's in essence what I'm saying, is that the favoritism's up for grabs. And right, a comment I settled on, because when you look at his record. I mean, he's since coming off a long layoff, he's rattled off three consecutive wins. He's got a 101 buyer in his last race. And, I mean, this guy is just a win machine for Hall of Fame trainer Mark Cassie. And they've pointed for this race. And, you know, this horse just, when you go back and look at even his Del Mar Derby, or even when he got beat by Raging Bull in the Hall of Fame at Saratoga, back in 2018, he ran well that day against a very tough foe in Raging Bull. So this is a top-notch horse, and so I made him the favorite. But favoritism could go to Smooth Like Straight, who has been the favorite in his last many races. But this will be his first time against running against not his age group only. You know, as a two-year-old, he ran only against two-year-olds. As a three-year-old, he ran only against three-year-olds. Now he's running against everybody as a four-year-old, so that's a bit of a question for him, but this is just a really terrific horse. And then Hit the Roads race was lights out in the Grade 3 Thunder Road, coming off a long layoff for trainer Dan Blacker. You have to give him just a ton of respect in this race. He's won 3 out of 4 on this turf course, but that Thunder Road, if he runs back to that race, it sets the bar high for everybody in this race. And I mean, we could spend an hour talking about this race, quite frankly. That's the kind of depth and quality this race has.
Yeah, I totally agree. It is a fun addition to the Kilroe, as they say, with a lot of familiar faces in there. I'll be rooting for our friend Lee Einsiedler and Bill Mott and Casa Creed. I've liked that horse throughout the career. And was a decent second to ride a Comet last time out. So I found it intriguing that they shipped out there to take the shot in the Grade 1, but really a fun addition of the Kilroe. Again, a little bit earlier on the card, we have some sprinters squaring off in the San Carlos Grade 2 event, 4-year-olds and up, a couple $100,000 up for grabs at 7 furlongs. Storm the Court, what a kind of an interesting story with that win in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, and just never really lived up to that afterwards. But he comes back on Saturday, Exalted, being lightly raced for Peter Ertin. I think comes in off a nice optional claiming win and gets tested in Stakes Company. But he's interesting to me. Brickyard Ride, an interesting player coming off a win against Calbreds in a stakes race last time. Antigua de Slugo, or if I'm anywhere close to that, ran second behind Brickyard Ride last time in that Calbred stakes race. So he's a player as well. What are your thoughts on the San Carlos?
Well, I don't think this is the strongest edition of this Grade 2 event that we've seen out here, to be quite honest about it. And so here again, I think there are several win candidates in this race. I made Tiger de Slugo the favorite in here, 5-2. He was the favorite last time out in the California Cup Sprint, and he ran quite well in defeat. He had a troubled trip that day. It was closing late, going 6 furlongs, and it looks like that should set him up very nicely for the longer 7-furlong trip here. And he retains the services of one of the top jockeys in the country, in Joel Rosario. So I see him as the horse to beat. On the horse to catch is certainly Brickyard Ride, who ran just a marvelous race last time, as he set fast fractions and just kept on going. And if that race had been 7 furlongs, I think he would have gotten the 7 furlongs for sure. But he might have a little tougher time in this open Grade 2 race versus a race restricted to California breds. So that's something of a concern. On the other hand, he seems to really like this track. 5 starts, 4 wins, and a third. So there's pluses and minuses on all of these horses. Storm the Court, cutting back in distance, switching back to the dirt. But as you say, Seth, he's got a long losing streak going all the way back to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile of 2019 here at Santa Anita. And he was a 45-1 long shot the day he won. So even the day he won, it was a huge upset. Extra Hope's cutting back in distance and has the credentials to win this race for sure. But I don't necessarily think 7 furlongs is ideal for him. So it's a kind of a tricky race. You mentioned Exalted. I didn't know what he was, a tricky one to make a morning line. I was debating between like 6, 8, and 10 and ended up at 10. And maybe if I had to do over, I'd lower him a bit. But look, he's you don't often go from an optional 40 claimer to winning a Grade 2. Let's be frank about it. But as I said, I don't think this is the strongest Grade 2 we've seen ever. So Loudmouth has run races that would give him a license to win this race. So it's an interesting race. I don't think it's a particularly strong race, but it's an interesting race. And it's a race, I think, if you're playing a multi-race exotic, like a pick whatever, I would go as deep as you possibly can go here. And I would make that same point on the Kilroe Mile. That these two races back to back, I would approach it one of two ways if you're playing, you know, a multi-race wager, and that is either go as close to all or use all if you can afford it, or take a stand on somebody, because if these are the type of races that if you can single and you get the right one, you're really putting yourself ahead of the crowd. Because most people will be spreading in these races.
Yeah, it's a sequence that is going to be very intriguing to put together those kind of multi-race wagers. All right, finally wanted to go back and get some opinions. Really looking forward to your thoughts in the San Felipe. And we pulled up a replay. I went back to January 2nd, the Sham. Life is Good is going to be the number 5 and win here. But coming late, number 1, Medina Spirit. They're both Bob Baffert horses. They both are back on Saturday. Subsequent to this second place finish for Medina Spirit, that one came back and won the Bob Lewis. Last week I had Jeremy Plonk on the show, who does Countdown to the Crown. And in his Derby top 20, he had these two in the top 5, I believe, but he had Medina Spirit over Life is Good. And I asked him why, and he said, well, it's a Derby top 20. And he thinks when things stretch out, mile and an eighth, mile and a quarter, Medina Spirit may be the better of the two. And so that was his reasoning. But at this mile and a 16th, I just couldn't get past that performance that we just saw. I had pulled up earlier this week the winner's circle comments from Mike Smith and Bob Baffert. Mike Smith said in that Sham, Life is Good was a little green and was looking at the infield television screen and, you know, once Smith got the past the finish line and went was galloping out, the other horse came up to him, and Life is Good took off again. So I wound up again on Life is Good, Medina Spirit. We'll see as things stretch out if it does change up at all. But Life is Good so far with the 2-for-2 record and at the mile and a 16th. I'm going to go in that direction in the San Felipe. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, Life is Good, the 4-to-5 boarding line favorite, and I toyed with 3-to-5. He's very likely to go lower than 4-to-5, but there are options to bet against him here, so I didn't want to go too low on him in this particular situation. But I definitely see him being odds on in this race. In other words, lower than even money. Look, Seth, the racing is about opinions, and I am a huge fan of Countdown to the Crown. I think Jeremy Plunk does an absolutely phenomenal job with all the work he puts into that. But I will, putting Medina Spirit ahead of Life is Good for the Kentucky Derby, and I'm talking about not the San Felipe, I'm talking about the Kentucky Derby, right, a mile and a quarter, because my first point would be on that is, do you think Medina Spirit is better than Authentic? Because Life is Good so far has given every indication he's better than Authentic. He's following the same Authentic race pattern in his first three races. And his debut win was better than Authentic's, and his race in the Sham was much faster than Authentic's. So Medina Spirit better get going faster, I think, to win the Kentucky Derby against Life is Good. And that could happen. Look, Medina Spirit showed tremendous heart in the Lewis. And he's a good colt. There's no doubt about it. Gary Young picked him out for a bargain $35,000 auction purchase. I've known Gary Young for going clear back to the early 1980s. He's an outstanding private clocker, outstanding judge of horse flesh. And this has been an absolute, not home run, but grand slam for Gary Young in terms of what Medina Spirit's already done to this point. Bob Baffert said before Life is Good ran in the Sham that he felt that this is a colt that has the raw talent of American Pharoah, Justify, and Authentic. Now he said raw talent because, again, that was off of a 6.5 furlong victory. And Baffert didn't even know if this horse could win around two turns. Well, he showed it in the Sham. And yes, the margin was only 3/4 of a length. But Life is Good galloped out good after that race. In fact, he was the one in front still when they got to the backstretch. I watched that closely. And Life is Good came right back out of that race with a sharp workout, pretty quick out of that race. It was 49 and change breezing. And, Seth, in Southern California, the official clockers very stingily give out this breezing. Now, it's different back east. They give out breezings all the time. But it's different here in Southern California. You rarely get a breezing. And what a breezing means here in Southern California is the horse was not asked to run at any point in the workout. The rider is sitting as still as a statue. If anything, the horse might even be under some restraint. And Life is Good, prior to his workout last Sunday, had reeled off 6 consecutive breezing workouts. I've been covering races here in Southern California since 1981. I've never seen a horse have 6 consecutive breezing workouts. It's unprecedented. And you say, well, gee, what about Authentic last year? You know, we ran the Kentucky Derby in September, not May. Authentic had exactly 1 out of 56 Southern California workouts listed as breezing prior to the Kentucky Derby. 1 out of 56. Life is Good had 6 in a row. You say, what about Justify? There's a Triple Crown winner. He was undefeated. Well, he had 17 Southern California workouts before the Kentucky Derby. You know how many were listed as breezing? 0. How about American Pharoah, the smooth-moving Triple Crown drought-busting winner of the Kentucky Derby in 2015? He had 27 Southern California workouts before the Kentucky Derby. None, 0, nada were breezing. So, I mean, and look, when you get a breezing workout here in Southern California, it's almost impossible to get a bullet work because to get the breezing, you have to be not asked at all. So how can you have the best timed workout that day if you're not even asked at all? Two of these six breezing workouts were bullets, and one was the second best of 42 that morning. So what I'm getting at, Seth, is we could be dealing with something very special here. And yes, he's going to have to prove the mile and a quarter, but he is by Into Mischief, and I think Into Mischief has already proven that he can sire a winner of the mile and a quarter Kentucky Derby, not to mention the mile and a quarter Breeders' Cup Classic, because he did it just last year, for Pete's sakes. He did it with Authentic. So, you know, Life Is Good at this point, to me, is rather head and shoulders against this group. But now he's got to continue to prove it. But based on what he's done in the morning, there is the possibility, and Seth, I have to emphasize that word, possibility. There's a possibility at this point that this is the best horse Baffert's ever trained because of what he's been doing in the morning here. So he's just, you know, he's tremendous. Now, that said, this San Felipe is not a weak race. This is a very strong race. And so you have to give respect to a lot of these other horses. You starting with Medina Spirit from the same barn. But I don't, you know, Life Is Good, to me, more or less toyed with Medina Spirit and the Sham. So I'll be surprised if they turn, if Medina Spirit turns the tables. Now, Dream Shake really impressed me in his career debut. First of all, Seth, that was the race that Bezos, the height of the moon horse from the Baffert barn, was a heavy favorite and ran a disappointing race. But I think something went amiss with Bezos because he looked like he was loaded for bear on the far turn and then all of a sudden empty and has not had a recorded workout since in a month. So to me, something kind of went wrong there with Bezos. Dream Shake, though, ran like a lot of people thought Bezos was going to run. He was eighth early in the field of nine, rocketed past horses on the far turn, and continued strongly down the lane. He won by almost five, got a tremendous buyer for his debut in 96, and an absolutely fabulous Thoragraph number of one. The only horses, and I don't know what the Thoragraph numbers were in the Fountain of Youth, but going into last weekend, only 3 3-year-olds had run a Thoragraph as good as Dream Shake. They are Greatest Honor and the Great One, who's also in this race, who got a one when he won the maiden race by 14 lengths last time out. And I know they've been high on the Great One at the O'Neill Barn from day one, because when he made a second, they, first of all, they started him in a stakes race. And then out of that, he ran in a tough maiden race. And I say tough maiden race at Del Mar. Spielberg was in that race after running well in graded stakes races, and that didn't bother the O'Neill clan. They threw him in against Spielberg, and the Great One disappointed that day. He lost by 13 lengths, but he has really come around. How much has he come around, Seth? He could very well end up being the second favorite in this race. I made him the third favorite, but he might end up being the second favorite in the betting. And he was 33-1 just two starts ago in the Los Alamitos Futurity when he was a maiden and almost won that race. He came within a nose of beating Spielberg that day, so it shows you the improvement of this horse, because he lost by 13 lengths to Spielberg at Del Mar and lost by a nose to him in the Los Al Futurity. So the Great One is certainly a major player in this race. Roman Centurion ran a very good race in the Lewis. He was right there in the three-way photo finish, and Hot Rod Charlie, who ran second to the Central Quality in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, was a close third in that race. And Roman Centurion actually ran anybody in that race. He had the wide trip, so in a way, he actually ran the best race. I love his pedigree. I think he's certainly a one that could make a lot of noise, especially as he goes farther with his breeding. He's by a Belmont Stakes winner, an Empire Maker, and I think he's a quality colt, but I'm not sure about him in this particular situation, going a mile and a 16th against this field. But I love him in terms of a possibility to be a serious player in going farther than a mile and a 16th, and especially maybe at a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby, and maybe even better, the mile and a half of the Belmont Stakes. But as I say, Seth, life is good. He's possible to come out in this race and make a real statement and defeat this field with authority. And if he does, people are going to start to realize maybe just how good life is good is.
Yeah, it's a fun addition to the San Felipe. And, we are now in the thick of the Derby Trail. A couple of weeks ago, I liked Mandaloon down at the fairgrounds. Last week, Essential Quality and Greatest Honor, both impressed. And this weekend, we have the San Felipe with the Baffert runners maybe stepping out. And then down to Tampa Bay and in New York as well. And I'll tell people, if they swing by Equidaily, I have a link to your online column. And you took a look also at the Tampa Bay Derby and the Gotham, and you've been looking at some of these Derby Trail races in your online column over the past couple of months, and I think 6 for 9 so far. So if people want to check out thoughts on Tampa Bay and New York as well along the Derby Trail, the John White column is worth taking a look at, taking a read. John, as always, appreciate the conversation. Always a lot of fun, always very informative. Wish you a lot of good luck on Saturday, and of course, we will talk again.
Thanks a lot, Seth. And I would also mention the people interested in the Triple Crown could check out what I write every Friday for the Los Angeles Times Horse Racing Newsletter. And that's easily accessible. Just Google it, Los Angeles Times Horse Racing Newsletter. John Turva is the man behind that. And for the last few years, during the Triple Crown run, which last year turned into a marathon, because we switched the Kentucky Derby from the first Saturday in May to the first Saturday in September. So that was a real marathon run that I had in that Los Angeles Times newsletter. But I have my top 10 also listed there, and also write extensively about the Kentucky Derby. For instance, this week, talking about the San Felipe, the Tampa Bay Derby, and the Gotham Stakes, and a brief look back at last weekend's action of the Southwest Stakes, won by Essential Quality, and the Fountain Youth, won by Greatest Honor. And by the way, to give you a sense again of what maybe life is good is, he gets a 101 buyer speed vigor when he wasn't really all out in the sham. And then you take a look at Greatest Honor, his raw buyer speed figure, the preliminary figure that came out was 83, and they arbitrarily upped it to 89. So with an arbitrarily upped buyer speed figure, that was an 89, which pales in comparison to that 101 for Life is Good. I mean, Life is Good and his maiden win got a buyer speed figure of 91, which is higher than anything Greatest Honor has done so far. Now, Greatest Honor is like Roman Centurion in that I think, obviously, and I know Shane McGahee has talked about this a lot, Greatest Honor is going to be better the farther he goes, and certainly the breeding indicates that, because his dam is a half-sister to two Belmont Stakes winners in Jazzle and one of my all-time favorite fillies, Rags to Riches. So while Greatest Honor hasn't yet reached even the 90s in the buyer department, there's certainly this upside with him with the farther he goes. And again, that is the question that we're going to have to see answered with Life is Good, but as I say, you can check out my thoughts each week, and not only with my ExpressBet.com column, but also in the Los Angeles Times horse racing newsletter.
Yeah, I usually link to that, too, so people can check that out on Equidaily as well. But again, it's so far the Derby Trail, I think, is shaping up to be a lot of fun this year. We're still in that first Saturday in May, so the calendar is playing to us this year as opposed to last year, and it's going to be a lot of fun, certainly out in Southern California on Saturday. John, again, thanks for the visit.
Thanks a lot, Seth.
John White, again, morning line odds maker out at Santa Anita, and they have a big stakes day scheduled on Saturday. So thanks again to John White for joining us, going over the stakes action out at Santa Anita a little bit earlier. Anthony Stabile taking a look at the stakes in New York. There's also, again, a big stakes card down at Tampa Bay with the Tampa Bay Derby highlighting that card, but some nice stakes as well. And some stakes on the grass, and I just double-checked because they were expecting some weather. I just pulled up the forecast for Tampa Bay for this afternoon, and it looks like some showers into the early portion of the afternoon, and then it'll go mostly cloudy. So fingers crossed things kind of hold together down at Tampa, and you know that it plays out this way with the rain being a little earlier and then kind of letting up as the afternoon progresses down on the west coast of Florida. But again, really great stakes all around. Santa Anita with the big cap going off at the end of the program at about 8 o'clock our time. That means we will have nighttime thoroughbred racing available tonight. So keep that in mind. You can watch and wager on that entire Santa Anita card today. Important also because there's a mandatory pay of their pick six out at Santa Anita. I just pulled up their website a little while ago. They're expecting maybe $6 million in the pool for, again, the and I'm not quite sure what they call theirs out there now, but their jackpot six wager at Santa Anita. So, again, that's a mandatory pay. Another note I want to give you, tomorrow at Gulfstream, mandatory pay on the Rainbow. So today at Santa Anita, tomorrow at Gulfstream. Don't forget this weekend is also Derby Future Pool, another one, but there's also an Oaks Pool. Brian Addo kind of alluded to it earlier when he was talking on the handicapper support. There's also an Oaks Derby Future Double Wager. If you swing by, you can stop by the Kentucky Derby Future Pool website, but if you want to pull up PPs, also go to my Equidaily website, top of the page. I have links to the Future Pool, Derby Future Pool PPs and the Oaks Future Pool PPs if you'd like to pull them up and take a look. Both of those pools close late tomorrow afternoon. And again, the Derby Future, you're going to want to look at the results today because that potentially is going to have maybe a dramatic effect on some of the horses, because some of the horses in the pool will be running later on today. And a good performance by a horse brings the odds down. A bad performance, maybe a bad performance that you think is sneaky good, maybe that plays into your hand as odds may bounce up. But that is the more unlikely scenario. More likely a horse runs a big effort. You unfortunately don't get the odds you like. But there are horses also on the list that aren't running this weekend that are offering some value. And as I say, I'm jumping in with all others. Currently at 9-1. I think that's going to give me a few horses getting into the gate the first Saturday in May. And horses that subsequent to this pool will make a little noise, and that's what's going to get them into the gate. So all others to me is intriguing in this weekend's pool as well. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. As always, want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship of this program, some of the other programming and events here on Capital OTB TV and at Capital OTB in general. Appreciate their sponsorship during the championship meet. They have a nice stakes card down at Gulfstream as well today. But again, big afternoon of racing coming up. I will be jumping on for OTB Live this afternoon. Again, probably with the first post at Aqueduct at 12:50, the pregame show and whatnot. I expect I'll probably jump in and kick things off at about 12:30 or so. Again, 12:50 post time at Aqueduct. Tampa will kick off at 12:17. They have a 12 race card down at Tampa today with the Tampa Bay Derby and the undercard stakes. But at Tampa Bay, they'll kick off at 12:17 this afternoon. So keep all of that in mind. And again, we'll see you about an hour and a half or so for OTB Live on a Saturday afternoon. Thanks for tuning in this morning. We'll see you in a few.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.